Well, you may have noticed when venturing into the city, there is less public spaces to welcome your furry friend. Is this frustrating you? Because Australia has a high level of pet ownership, and you may want to get out with your best friend. To discuss this complex issue, I am joined by Louise Grimmer, a lecturer in marketing and retail in the Tasmanian School of Business and Economics at the University of Tasmania. Louise, welcome.
Oh, hi, Victor. Thanks so much. It's great to chat with you.
So, we all know that pets can be unwelcome in some public places in Australia, but what are the main reasons why this might be?
Yeah, look, great opening question. So, if we think about the fact that a lot of our legislation is at the local government level, and you think about all the different local governments that we have in Australia, there's a vast difference between where we see pets allowed in public places, depending on where you live. So I think we were talking about where you live, you see a lot of dogs out in public. Mm. But where I live, in the certain part of Hobart where I am, there's a lot more regulation about the times that dogs are allowed on things like beaches and in public parks, and especially in things like public shopping malls and civic squares and those sorts of things. So it sort of depends on where you live. But I think Australia, sort of in general, is we like a lot of legislation and regulation. And obviously we have those sorts of, we have a lot of regulation for good reason. And some of the regulation about not having pets around where food is being prepared, you can understand why we have that sort of regulation. But I think that because of all, and we can probably talk about it, but the benefits that interacting with pets do bring for many people, as our backyards shrink and a lot of us are moving more and more into apartment living, we're going to have to start to plan our public spaces a bit differently, or perhaps to open up some of the existing public spaces so that people who in particular have dogs can have more opportunity, I guess, to interact with them in public.
Mm, and I guess it's also important for the legislation to be intelligent and to actually, you know, if there is a problem, to deal with it. You mentioned the food preparation there, but I worked in a hotel for quite a while where we were allowed to have pets in the outside area, but not in the inside area, even though the kitchen was in the outside area and people were eating in the outside area. So
go figure.
Yeah. So what...
Yeah, sometimes the rules don't tend to make sense in a sort of practical way, do they? I mean, I guess, there are this conversation that we're having has come about from an article that I wrote in The Conversation, and it's really sparked a huge debate on social media, and I've done a lot of media interviews since the article came out on Monday. But, you know, people seem to be quite polarised by this topic. They're either very for having more opportunity to interact with their pets in public, or people are saying, no, we're fine as we are. Some people are afraid of dogs. There are some concerns about sort of germs and especially around food preparation. And I think a lot of the negative commentary that I've seen has been more aimed at pet owners or dog owners really doing the wrong thing rather than dogs themselves. Mm. But I guess, you know, if we look to other countries, so if we look to parts of Europe, so think about Paris or New York or London, the rules are a lot more relaxed around, I'm thinking in particular, dogs. So if you go into a bar or a cafe in Paris, for example, there will be dogs. I had dinner in a restaurant. There was a dog that was the chef's dog. He sits in the restaurant every night and gets fed in front of everyone. If you go on public transport in other countries, there are dogs on public transport. And I think, you know, a lot of the reason for that is that in many big cities overseas, people do live in apartments. They don't have backyards to keep their dogs in during the day.
And so there's an understanding that they need to take them out.
Yeah, that's right. So you need to take your dog for a walk. You need to take it to go to the toilet. And of course, while you're out, you want to do some shopping. You might want to have a coffee. And so there's a lot more acceptance, I think, of dogs in particular in public places in other countries. And I think we could do with a little bit more of that here in Australia.
Well, we do love regulation here in Australia.
We do. We certainly do. Most of the things that we do are pretty highly regulated, but, you know, with good reason often. But I think, you know, we know about the benefits that pet ownership bring to us. So, you know, owning a pet or even interacting with a pet is really great for general health and well-being. It's good for mental health. Dogs have been shown to lower blood pressure. They're often used after traumatic events to sort of comfort people. Therapy dogs. They're great for encouraging exercise, and they're really good at reducing social isolation and loneliness. And so I'm not just talking about dogs here, but there was a study that was done at the University of Western Australia, and they found that 60% of the respondents who had a dog actually knew their neighbours, and people who didn't have a pet didn't really interact or know the people who lived, you know, close by. So it can be a very good thing for helping to reduce a lot of isolation, and more people are living by themselves. So I think, and there have been some delightful stories that have been shared in some of the talkback radio that I've done of, you know, Bunnings is a store that actually allows dogs in the store here in Australia. And people have said that, you know, the interaction that they've seen between humans and the dogs that are there in the store have been really heartwarming. Mm. And brought a smile to people's faces. So, yeah, I guess this article was really just about thinking, could we have some more opportunity for pet-human interaction in our public spaces?
Well, yeah, and I know it's quite a complex thing to deal with, because every, you know, there's thousands of local councils in Australia and they might all have different rules, but would you advocate for any regulatory or legal changes to allow more pets to be in public?
Yeah, look, I think it's a very difficult thing, because a lot of this legislation is at the local council level. But legislation that might look at public transport, for example, is more state-based legislation. So it does differ from state to state, but in most places you can't, unless you've got a dog that's helping you, a sight dog or PTSD dog or whatever it might be. You can't take dogs on trains, trams, buses, taxis, Uber. In Sydney, you can take dogs on the ferry, but it's at the discretion of the ferry captain. So I think opening up some, relaxing the legislation in terms of travelling with dogs on public transport would be great, because, of course, we're being told more and more that we need to get out of our cars, embrace public transport much more because it's good for the planet, etc. But for a lot of people who want to do activities with their dog, this is not possible. So that might be something that could be looked at. But again, that's a state government regulation.
Well,
but it could be a start.
Well, I, for one, am advocating for as many dogs everywhere at every time as we can.
I love it. Me too, Victor.
Thank you so much for joining us on the program this morning.
You're welcome.